Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. Listen to the Inside Carolina podcast sponsored by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. We've got Greg Barnes and Gregory Hall with me. It's basketball season, boys. Notre Dame, North Carolina, in the Smith Center, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Full disclosure, we're recording this on Monday night. Sort of a look ahead to the season. Greg Barnes, I'll start with you first. I mean, this is a Carolina team that's going to look significantly different than last season. And from the outside looking in, I'm not so sure that's necessarily a great thing. Your thoughts on this team heading into this season, maybe contrast it with how it looked last season going into the season. I mean, very different players, very different mindset, very different style, I think we see coming.
Yeah, for sure, Tom. I mean, I think that's kind of a good way to put it. Because last year going in, you knew that you had some key veterans back. Kenny Williams was your perimeter defender, has played throughout his entire career, a guy that Roy Williams loved and trusted out there at guard. Luke Mays coming off a All-American season. You knew what he could bring to the table. And then Cam Johnson had battled through a hip injury, but still put up some very good numbers in his junior campaign. And so just those guys alone, you knew you had a very solid foundation. And then you add in some elite freshman talents, and all of a sudden you've got some things working. And I think what benefited that team more than anything is that when Nasir came in, Nasir wasn't great from the start, right? But it wasn't that big of a deal, and they were able to bring him along gradually, which he eventually became very good by the end of the year. But it was because they had so many veterans they could lean on. And same with Kobe. They had to count on Kobe a lot, and Kobe played well from the get-go, but he was kind of up and down. And they didn't have to have him be the stud every single night. Because you had guys. I mean, think about the state game where I guess it was Cam and Kenny and Luke all had double-doubles. And because you have such veteran leadership, you could allow the freshmen and the younger guys to come along at their own pace. That's not the case this year. I mean, this is a situation where you've got you two freshmen for sure in the starting lineup with Cole Anthony and Armando Bacot. And those two guys have to be key pieces for this team from the get-go. I mean, they have to play well on Wednesday night against Notre Dame in their first ever college game. And when you add in the fact that your only senior in Brandon Robinson is nicked up right now, we don't know his availability for Wednesday. And Garrison Brooks is your only returning starter, and he's really kind of a defensive presence guy. And then Leaky Black's coming off of injury, and then you got grad transfers. A lot of new pieces, a lot of new expectations. Cole Anthony, I mean, the amount of expectations on that kid is just incredible. But yet he's going to have to play through that, and he's going to have to play strong early. He's going to have to play strong night in and night out in order for North Carolina to be effective and for North Carolina to challenge for a conference championship, as well as maybe a little bit more as we get into March.
Gregory, when I look at the roster on the – internet, I always go into it, and one website, Go Heels website, has it where you can click on the year, and it'll sort it based off seniority. And you always do that when you go into a North Carolina season, and you click on it, and you've got, nowadays, you got your grad transfers at the top, and it goes seniors on down to the freshmen. And you always see guys that have played key roles for Roy Williams and for North Carolina basketball over the years up near the top of that list. And when I do it now, as we sit here and talk, and I click on it, you've got guys in the first seven or eight names that have done very little for North Carolina basketball. You get down to Garrison Brooks, you start talking about major contributors, and then you get on the way down and you see where the guys that are going to have to step up. That is what's weird about this North Carolina team. The guys that are most experienced, Brandon Robinson, will be out for some period of time. But Justin Pierce and Christian Keeling, they bring your most experience on this roster, and they haven't played a minute of action for North Carolina basketball. Just a whole different sort of, I said weird earlier. It's just different, and it's odd for North Carolina. It'll be interesting to see how Roy Williams manages it, Gregory. Your thoughts just on its face going into this season opener.
Yeah, Tommy, it is weird because you look at it, and like you said, Justin Pierce and Christian Keeling are the experienced guys, but they've never played a game for North Carolina. And what doesn't help, what does not help, are these injuries. Brandon Robinson, there's no timetable for his return. We didn't get any extra details on that injury from Roy tonight on his radio show. So he's still out with a sprained ankle. And with, to Greg's point of Cole and Armando having to play excellent basketball night one, if one of them doesn't produce, there aren't many guys behind them. Roy mentioned following the Winston-Salem State game, and he mentioned it again tonight, he's got eight guys that he plans on playing that he trusts. Without Brandon, that number is seven. If Armando doesn't play up to what a starting forward should for Roy Williams at North Carolina, they don't have anybody else who can play the five. Garrison had to play the five last year, but his natural position is the four because Sterling's hurt. And Sterling Manley, Roy said today, doesn't really know if or when he's going to be able to play. So that doesn't help you because, if Armando's not playing well, maybe it's just nerves at first. You can take him out, put Sterling in, but you can't really do that. If he's got nerves, you take him out, you put Justin Pierce in at the four. He's learning how to play the four. So that doesn't help you either. So that's kind of my thoughts on how this season starts. And then you look at Cole Anthony. Yes, huge recruit, amazing talent. So much pressure. He's played through the pressure. He's got clips. He's dunking on NBA players. He's playing with Victor Oladipo and Carmelo Anthony and all these guys. And he's cool as a cucumber. But still, like, it's a big scene coming from high school AAU ball to playing for Roy Williams. And if he doesn't play well, and if he just plays average, which would be better than probably most players, but then behind him, you've got Leaky Black, and Leaky missed a lot of the season last year with an injury. And so it's just kind of, it's not a lot of players, which is a lot of things could go wrong if someone who's supposed to produce can't produce. And that's just kind of the gist of with the inexperience and the not a lot of old guys. And yeah, so it's just, I was a lot, but that's just what's going through my head when I look at this lineup and the injury issues.
Greg, let's go ahead and talk about Cole Anthony. Has there ever been a freshman at North Carolina with this level of expectation? And I'm sure somebody will pop up and say somebody before I can even finish the question, but with this level of expectation, but not only expectations, also, like Gregory said, he has to produce for this team to be good and for this team to have success. I mean, he has to produce. And I cannot remember a freshman from North Carolina that's been put on the spot like that as Cole Anthony has been.
Yeah, I think there's two parts of that, Tommy. It's the hype for one, but like you said, it's not just hype. It's North Carolina needs him, has to have him. There was a ton of hype with Harrison Barnes. There's a ton of hype with Nasir Little. There's a ton of hype when Rashad McCants and Sean May and Ray Felton came in. But I think in all those situations, there was hype, but there was also some knowledge that, yeah, it may take some time, or, with Harrison Barnes' situation, you know, there's some other guys on the team that can kind of help carry the load. Nas, we already talked about that with he had, you know, three veterans on the team beside him. So I think when you factor all those things together, I think it's going to be tough to find somebody that, that kind of fills that void. Now, of course, you've got guys like Hansbrough who came in, and because he was so good early, that changes the conversation, right? But coming into that year, back in 05, 06, nobody really thought that he was going to, you know, have to carry the load the way that he did. And so, yeah, I think this is a very, very unique situation. I find that, you know, Roy Williams is very honest with us. And time again, he's kind of brushed off any concern about Cole Anthony. As in, you know, if he's what I've got to worry about, then I'm in good shape. And the fact that he hasn't even hedged on that tells me that Cole is that type of player. I think people maybe watch the Winston-Salem State game and like, he's going to have to be better than that. But he was a presence in that game in terms of everything kind of ran through him. And I think you'll see that. I think you'll see him be able to guide this team. You'll see him be in a situation where when he needs to try to take over, he will. Does that mean he's always going to be successful? No, of course not. But he'll get better as the year goes along. But he seems well-equipped to be able to handle the pressure. But for a freshman to come in and to have the ball in his hands so much and for his usage rate to be so high at a blue blood school, I don't want to say it's unprecedented, but I'd have to do a lot of looking to find somebody that kind of fits in that tight little box there. So we'll get to see. And if I tell you one thing, if Cole Anthony lives up to those expectations and is able to produce consistently, it's going to be a very, very impressive performance by that young man.
Yeah, it's something that stands out to me about Cole and with Roy, and he said it again tonight on Roy Williams Live. He was asked someone asked Roy, who is your most advanced defender? First, he goes to Garrison Brooks. Then he mentions Leakey is the best defender off the ball. And then he goes right to talking about Cole Anthony's defense. Last year with Kobe, that was what he was constantly saying Kobe needed to work on the most. Obviously, he's mentioned Cole needs to work on it, but he says everyone needs to work on their defense. So that kind of stands out to me, the defensive praise that Roy has given Cole Anthony before he's even played a game. So with my young ears and young eyes listening to Roy, that seems unprecedented as far as I go with looking at Cole Anthony and what his talents are as a freshman.
Yeah, I think we'll see a guy given the keys to the Ferrari unlike ever before in North Carolina basketball. And that stretches a long way back to the beginning. Now, there have been freshmen that have played well. Greg, you mentioned Tyler Hansbrough. And, you know, Rashad McCants had a good freshman year. And, of course, Jordan had a good freshman year. And there have been guys before. But nobody, at least in my memory, and maybe I'm missing somebody as that caveat, I cannot remember somebody being just say, here's the keys, take it. It's all you, as Roy Williams has done thus far with Cole Anthony. It's fascinating. I think for Carolina, and Greg, I was thinking about this, I think for Carolina to have that successful season, I think he's got to have a Carmelo Anthony type season. Which is, you know, he led Syracuse to the national championship. He just played fantastic all year long. I mean, what type numbers do you think, A, we can expect, and B, what Carolina needs from a guy like Cole Anthony right out of the gate, ACC game, day one, Notre Dame, 7 o'clock. I mean, what numbers does he need for this team to have success?
Well, let me say this first. I don't know that I disagree with you with the Carmelo Anthony bit, just in terms of, you know, Syracuse doesn't win that title without him having this absolutely phenomenal freshman year. Looking at how this team is currently constructed, we know they'll get better. They'll be a lot better, you know, in February than they are this week or next month. I'm not sure there's enough pieces here for North Carolina to make that run without Cole being out of this world. That's a lot to ask. When you're talking about what does this kid have to do to win a national championship, that's a little bit, a lot of pressure, a little bit unfair probably. In terms of what he has to do from day one, he's got to score, right? I mean, he's got to run the offense. But time and time again, really what his teammates have talked about is that he is an exquisite passer. You know, the more I hear about him, the more I kind of get some memories of Kendall Marshall coming back, and not in the sense that, you know, Kendall was so flashy at times, but more that, you know, Kendall, he was able to kind of see the court in a way that was very unique. And if he had a teammate open, or he had a teammate that was about to get open and maybe they didn't know they were going to get open, he could get them the ball and they'd be like, wow, I'm wide open. And they could make a shot. Cole does the same thing. His team is like, man, we've learned that we have got to be alert. Because even if we don't think we're in a position to get the ball, sometimes we get the ball and we're like, man, I can like make an easy basket from here. I think that's where he's going to help most, is that he's going to be that kind of cohesive glue on both ends of the floor. You know, Gregory talked about his ability to be a good on-ball defender. They are certainly going to need that, especially on Wednesday. But offensively, if he's a guy that the entire system runs through and he can get guys open, you know, he's got the mid-range game. He can knock down some outside shots. He's really good at, you know, finishing at the rim. So he's not the scorer that, you know, Coby White was by any stretch. But he can score, and he can generate points with his ability to get his teammates involved. And I think that's what you'll see. So, you know, it's not going to be a Coby White situation where he's going to go out there and score 25 points and make 7 3-pointers. That's not his game. But he may go out there and score 16 points and have 8 assists and run the offense, and, you know, in such a way that there's not a lot of turnovers and there's not a lot of bad wasted possessions. And that's what this team is going to have. He's going to have games where he goes off for sure. But I think more than not, it's a matter of just keeping everybody together, keeping everybody on task, pushing tempo when he needs to, making smart plays. And there's enough talent around him that they can be, you know, effective offensively. And then if he can get some help defensively, especially with Garrison back there, they can be good enough on that end. Is that good enough to win the ACC? I think we got a long way to go before we can legitimately answer that question. But I think if they can do those things in the short term, they can be successful here in the early part of the year.
Yep, I agree with that. Let me talk about Johnny T-Shirt just briefly. Johnny T-Shirt, of course, a Inside Carolina podcast sponsor, a great friend to InsideCarolina.com. If you've been out in the bowls a lot during the football games, you see they offer a lot of swag to give away out there and chances to win. If you've been to see them on Franklin Street, you know they have everything you could possibly want in their store on Franklin Street, all sports related, not just basketball, football, baseball, women's soccer, men's soccer, every sport you can imagine, and even sports you couldn't and didn't realize Carolina had. They got that gear for you as well. JohnnyT-Shirt.com, of course, you can get everything that they have in store online. You get it shipped straight to your house. You save the trip, but you also miss out on the in-person great customer service that you get in the store, but you get the customer service online. It's just not quite the same. Visit them on Franklin Street when you're in town. A lot of soon-to-be rising high school seniors making some college visits. Make sure Johnny T-Shirt's part of that college visit when you go to Chapel Hill. And if you're an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, not only do you get all the wonderful benefits of being an IC subscriber, you get 10% off that JohnnyT-Shirt.com order. And in store, just mention that you're Inside Carolina Premium subscriber and give them the code to hook you up. Gregory, let's get back to talking about this basketball team. Greg mentioned Garrison Brooks, and I think that for me, watching Garrison Brooks over the last couple seasons, I've always thought he was sneaky good, and maybe he didn't get enough credit for being as good as he could be. One interesting comment that Roy Williams made, maybe it was on the All Access or one of the press conferences, is that Garrison's had more alley-oops this season than he's had in his entire first two seasons as a result of Cole Anthony's passing that Greg mentioned. But Garrison is a guy that can, I think, really blossom, but he needs help from a guy like Armando Bacot. talk about the bigs down low, what they need to accomplish, and what you think they bring working together for this basketball team.
Yeah, I think the help that Garrison gets from Armando Bacot is Armando, he's a little larger, not much, but he kind of takes up space. And with him being a high-level recruit, teams, they obviously don't have, like, at least early, they won't have college film on Armando, so they might be worried about him. And like you said, Garrison Brooks maybe hasn't gotten a lot of credit. I know he hasn't gotten that much credit from the students. Definitely hear voices when, as soon as Garrison makes a mistake, it's like the world's ending. But he's got a chance to be one of UNC's top, either top two, but most likely top three scorers this year because of those assists from Cole Anthony. And it's not just Cole Anthony. It'll be Christian Keeling. It'll be Brandon Robinson when he's healthy. It'll be Leaky Black. They're all good passers. Christian Keeling posted a triple-double last year. So he's got the potential there with passing the ball. And what I think what Roy talked about tonight on his radio show is that he's going to have to go back to the traditional two big lineup because he doesn't have that stretch four. Yes, Justin Pierce will play a stretch four, but most of the time he'll be in at the three. And Armando and Garrison are going to have a lot of minutes on the floor together. So the three-point shot is there, kind of. It's not like it was last year where Kenny's looking to take a three, Cam Johnson's looking to take a three, Kobe White's definitely looking to take a three. Yes, Cole Anthony likes to shoot threes. But he also understands that he needs to use his team, and the biggest asset on this team right now, other than Cole, is Garrison Brooks. And if UNC can figure out how to get him the ball and he can get 14 to 16 to 18 points a night, mainly just easy dunks and layups and maybe the occasional alley-oop, this team's going to be in a good spot. And they're not going to have to rely on the three as much as they did last year, which is what Roy Williams wants.
Greg, great point by Gregory. Roy Williams wants to work inside out. No matter how good they are on the perimeter, he'll certainly adjust. Brooks and Bacot give him that option. Those two bigs that we've talked about over the past, what, 2 or 3 years doing this podcast, well, at least since Hicks and Meeks graduated, Roy Williams has what he wants down there. He loves that aspect of the basketball game, of the college basketball game. Can Carolina have the kind of success that maybe a team used to be able to have by playing that way?
I think so, and I think this is one of those weird years where Roy would probably like to be able to play more traditional two big. He just doesn't have the bodies for it. As Gregory mentioned, Roy said that right now he's got 8 guys he can rely on. And Brooks and Bacot, of course, are 2 of those guys. But in terms of front court players, Justin Pierce is the other one. And he's a guy that's really a 3 trying to play the 4. So they're going to have to play small quite a bit. Maybe if Brandon Huffman can make some significant strides, or maybe Sterling Manley can finally get back. But I think it's fair to say at this point, not to expect a lot of those guys, at least early in the year, for sure. But I do think when you've got a guy like Garrison Brooks, who he scored his points last year without having the ball in his hands very long at all. And whether they were dump offs, whether it was garbage putbacks, that's how he scored his points. Nothing wrong with that. They just didn't need him to score last year. So he's made a point this offseason to really kind of improve his offensive game. But it's one of those things where if you haven't played that way your entire life, to be asked all of a sudden, all right, well, now we're going to need you to score. We need you to develop that drop step and that little hook. go ahead and get that knocked out this summer and we'll be good to go. And not that easy. And so he's still, you know, he's a work in progress. He's going to be able to score a little bit better down low. But kind of like Gregory said, you know, Cole's going to help him in that regard. Bacot, however. Go ahead, Gregory.
I was going to say, to that point with Garrison shooting more, Roy talked about it tonight and how they've kind of made that a priority for Garrison and for the bigs in general. And Roy wants to see Garrison shooting it more, whether it be that Luke May right, not necessarily right hook, but kind of the turnaround, or more just kind of like the post-up jumper on the secondary break. He even alluded to you might see Garrison put up a three-pointer here or there. I don't know how much he was joking when he said that, but I'm sure a lot of Carolina fans would not want to see that. But it just kind of shows that they have been working on it, specifically with Garrison, because like you said, Greg, the depth is not there, and so they're going to have to play small a lot. So I think watching the evolution of Garrison Brooks's jump shot and adding that to his game will definitely be something to watch moving forward. Go ahead with what you were going to say about Armand.
Well, a key point too there is with North Carolina's high-low game, you've got to have a big that can sit there at the free throw line and knock down that jumper. It doesn't have to be automatic, but he has to be able to knock that down some. Otherwise, your high-low kind of loses some of its potency. But with Bacot, I mean, this is a guy offensively with a skill set that we haven't seen in North Carolina in quite a while. You know, Luke May, of course, could do a little bit of everything. But in terms of a true back-to-the-basket freshman, you know, who has a variety of moves. You know, he's talking about, yeah, you know, because I'm at the college level now, I can't just use one move. I've got to do, you know, some combos. So I may have to do a, you know, drop step and then go up with a little hook shot, or I may have to, you know, turn and you fake one way and then go the other way with a little over the left shoulder shot if I need to. And I'm sitting here thinking, that's tremendous, because, you know, when you talk to Sterling Manley and Garrison Brook here, it's just like, yeah, I'm just going to get it and just try to dunk it. And that's basically the offensive game plan that those guys had. So he is much more progressed and much more mature in what he can do. And that gives you a lot of options. And so I really think that, you know, strength-wise, that's going to be an issue in terms of he's got to do a really good job of posting up on the block. I mean, that was somewhat of an issue against Winston-Salem State, is that he was getting pushed out a little bit too far, or at least he was setting up too far off the block. If he's able to get to a position where he can consistently set up on the block, they can really run the offense through him on the post. And that would be a great thing for this team. That may be your work in progress. That may be your ACC season before that's a consistent option. But if you've got a defender like Garrison Brooks in the post and you've got a scorer like Bacot, I think Roy Williams would take that in a heartbeat. And that frees you up to kind of, you know, mix and match however you want to on the perimeter. But as I said, you know, Justin Pierce is going to have to play a lot down there. And so, you know, Bacot will have to play the five pretty much all the time. Brooks will probably play the four with Bacot at the five. And then when Pierce comes in, Brooks will slide down to the five. So you maybe, depending on who they play, you may see Leaky Black have to play some at the four as well, just with his length. But just with the number of bodies, you don't like to see that. But when you've got, you know, a couple guys that can fill some unique roles with Brooks and Bacot, that's certainly better than nothing.
Do you think that Armando's shot blocking ability will make Garrison a better defender?
Well, certainly not going to hurt. I mean, Garrison played the five pretty much all year last year, and so his ability to play the four is going to be beneficial, because what he's going to be able to do is whenever you play these teams that have guys that can slot out. I mean, you know, Mooney will probably do it some Wednesday, but can slide out and knock down the three. If you're asking Armando to do that at this point of his college career, that's asking a lot. That puts him out in kind of an uncomfortable position trying to guard the perimeter and prevent a drive past him. Garrison's played long enough where he can actually do that, So with him playing kind of a little bit different position defensively, he can do a lot of different things, especially if he knows that you've got, you know, a guy like Bacot who just has the length and athleticism to be able to protect the rim better than UNC has in recent years. And so Brooks can be a little bit more aggressive. And not just Brooks, everybody. You know, that was one of the great things about Bryce Johnson, is that when he had his tremendous, I mean, even his junior year, but his tremendous senior year, is that the guys could be very aggressive outside of the paint. Because if they were aggressive and somebody got by them, well, they knew that Bryce was there and there was a good chance that Bryce could get a swat or at least make somebody think about their shot. That hasn't been the case in recent years. And so maybe Bacot can bring a little bit of that back.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point to have sort of a guy that can erase mistakes on the perimeter right. defense. And Bacot can certainly do it. One thing that is always something to watch for a young guy, especially a young big, is how you deal with foul trouble or how you avoid fouls. Because college guys are going to come and stick it right in your chest and try to make that layup if they get past their perimeter defender. Bacot's got to learn to sort of toe that line to be effective there but not foul, because like we've talked about, the depth is certainly not there. Manley and Huffman, even Walker Miller, can they help? Can they provide a body at some point? Sure. And at some point, Sterling Manley and Huffman need to provide something more than just a body that can foul somebody out there. But Bacot and Brooks, they're the story inside. But Greg, let me ask you about the two guys we have mentioned maybe sliding down in those roles. And this is what makes Leaky Black so important to this team and his health so important, is because, like you mentioned, him being able to slide down and also Justin Pierce being able to play the four. I mean, that's – I have a feeling we're going to see that situation a lot for North Carolina, and probably even a lot Wednesday night against Notre Dame, given what they present. I don't know if it's the best use of Leaky Black's skill set, but it's certainly one of his skills that he brings.
Yeah, and I think one thing that has completely changed his role for this year is Seventh Woods deciding to leave. Because with Seventh Woods gone, Leaky Black is now, without question, the backup point guard. And so that is going to affect his minutes, and that's going to affect how Roy Williams can use him. And we'll have to see, you know, once B-Rob gets back, how the starting lineup shakes out. But Leaky may be a guy that is best used off the bench, just because Roy knows he's going to be the backup point guard. And Roy knows that he's going to be back up at the two and the three for sure, and possibly even the four. So you've got to use him maybe a little bit differently than if you had Seventh Woods, where you didn't have to rely on him as your point guard so much. But I think the big thing for Pierce and for Black is the fact that whenever Roy Williams has gone small, and Theo had an issue with this his first year, but by his senior year, he'd added some weight and was really good rebounding. But you got to be able to rebound the ball. And both Christian Keeling and Justin Pierce, I think one of the reasons that Roy liked them as much as he did, is they were both very good rebounders at their previous schools. Granted, much lower level competition. But if Pierce and Leaky are able to rebound effectively, they don't have to be great, but they have to be solid. They can't be consistently getting beat. If they can do that, then he'll have faith that he can play a lot more with that small lineup. I think both of them have the skill set and have the length to be, you know, good enough in terms of, you know, taking advantage of the matchup offensively and then using their length defensively to cause some problems. But if they're not rebounding the way Roy wants them to, that's when you may see some issues there. That's when you may see some more Brandon Huffman instead of those guys if you're playing against a team that has some bigger players. So I think that is the most telling statistic, is how well they do on the boards. But yeah, I mean, their length and their athleticism allows you to do a lot of different things with both those guys.
The challenge with, I think Roy has, with Leaky being the backup point guard, is working him into the rotation with Cole Anthony on the floor because of Leaky's skill set. And he can maybe make up on defense with Justin Pierce on the floor if Justin Pierce gets lost trying to play the floor trying to play the four, and things like that. Because, I mean, like we've heard from last year, when Leaky wasn't even playing, Roy praises Leaky Black a lot and loves Leaky Black's game. He's even said for UNC to be an excellent basketball team, Leaky Black needs to be healthy and playing. And that's true. I mean, obviously, yes, because depth issues already. But I think it's he's saying more that that's just how important Leaky is. And so, I mean, we know this team doesn't have conditioning issues. I mean, Roy mentioned today when he's got recruits here and they're watching practice, he makes his guys run extra sprints at the end just to get the message across that if you come to UNC, you're going to run. And we know how much Roy likes to make his players run. So they're conditioned, but it's still live ball minutes. I mean, there's a reason guys don't constantly play 36 to 38 minutes a game. Leaky might leave the team in minutes this year if depth issues remain a problem just because of his skill set. So it's definitely difficult how you can kind of load manage him being the backup point guard, because if Cole's not on the floor, you definitely want Leaky on the floor. So just I don't envy those decisions. Not one bit.
And I think it may be a situation, and you may be able to steal a few minutes in the first half with both those guys on the floor together. But I think it'll be one of those situations where you get down to the final 4 or 5 minutes when you've got your five guys to close the game on the floor. That's probably when you'll see both of them out there. But I agree. I think it'll be difficult to have both Leaky and Cole on the floor at the same time for large stretches, just because of the fact that Leaky is Cole's backup. And if Cole's got to come out, you know, yes, you can slide Leaky over, but you know, where is he getting his breather from? And I think that's the puzzle piece.
Yeah, and you can't run him into the ground. And we talked about in the offseason, and I want to talk about it after the break, about Cole Anthony's ability to play major minutes. But let me take a short break, come back. I got a few more questions about this roster for you guys. You're listening to the Inside Carolina podcast. Basketball season is here. We'll be right back.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm host Tommy Ashley, joined by Greg Barnes, Gregory Hall, Inside Carolina podcast, sponsored by JohnnyT-shirt.com. Let's talk about minutes a little bit, guys. And I feel like there's players we have not talked about yet. Now, I want to get, Greg, I'll start with you again. Christian Keeling, I think he needs to be a scorer for Carolina, a big-time scorer for Carolina. One thing that was a little surprising to me, and I know a lot of people have said this, and it's no slight to him, it's probably a slight to my paying attention, is he's a little smaller than I thought he was. Going into it, I mean, 6'3", 180, he just seems more slight than I was expecting. Maybe that's my fault. It's not the first person I've heard say it, or I'm not the only person I've heard say it, but his role on this team, we've talked about Cole Anthony's going to play 35 to 37 minutes. How many does Keeling play? Does it depend on Brandon Robinson's health? Does it depend on somebody else stepping up? I mean, I think he is probably, if Cole's 1A for scoring options, I think Keeling's 1B. Am I right or am I just way off?
That's a good question in terms of scoring. I think in the ideal world, yes, Keeling is effective enough that he can be that secondary scorer for you, at least on the perimeter. Remains to be seen if he can actually do that. And I'm with you, Tommy. The first time I saw Christian, I thought he was, yeah, a little smaller than I expected. And I think there's a, you know, when we talk about right now UNC having kind of eight key guys, I think when you lay it out, you're talking about, you know, Baycott and Brooks in the post, 4 and 5, Cole at the 1. And then when you're talking about the 2, I mean, I think Keeling's really a 2. And yes, 2 and 3 are interchangeable offensively. Defensively, they're not. And so you play Tech, for example, he's a 2. Maybe play Tech because he's a veteran now. He can slide over and guard some longer players at the 3. But that can be challenging depending on who you're playing against. And so when you're talking about play Tech and Keeling at the 2, now you're left with 3 people kind of trying to fill that void at the 3 and the 4 with Pierce, Leakey, and B-Rob. And so I found it a little bit interesting, the starting lineup against Winston-Salem State, and that it was Cole, Keeling, and B-Rob on the perimeter. And I guess that kind of goes back to the fact that, you know, Leakey needed to come off the bench, or he may need to come off the bench. And without B-Rob potentially Wednesday, we'll have to wait and see. How does that change things? I mean, I would assume that puts Leakey into the starting lineup, but that'll be something that will be fascinating to watch how Roy handles. But yeah, I mean, I think Keeling's certainly a 2, and you talk about minutes. I mean, when you got 8 guys, it's pretty easy. You're talking about 25 minutes each if they're all averaging the same. Cole for sure is going to play a lot more than that. Garrison for sure is going to play a lot more than that. And I think Baycott for sure is going to play a lot more than that. So even still, I mean, Keeling's going to have to play quality minutes if he's able to score, because they're going to need some scores. So he may be a guy that's, you know, not 25, but he may be closer to 30 minutes if he's able to fill it up. And that's where your play Tech, I think, is the key, because if he can come in and give you some scoring, he's a pretty good defender. But if he can actually knock down some shots, which he struggles with at times, that would be a big boost, and he could really alleviate some of the minute issues there at the 2 and 3.
Gregory, is play Tech a guy that, if anybody benefits from Brandon Robinson being down for any amount of time, is play Tech the guy that's going to reap the benefits, at least in terms of minutes, in Robinson's absence?
In terms of minutes, yeah. I mean, he played, what was it? I mean, it was an exhibition game and glorified practice and yada, yada, yada. I mean, but he played 24 minutes. And I don't know, that just seems like a lot of Andrew play Tech on the floor. But what I think surprised me and maybe some others that saw it watching the game was his ability and almost will to be active. I mean, usually, like last couple of years, play Tech comes in, you expect him to maybe come around a screen, catch a pass, either give up on the 3 and not shoot it, or as he's gotten more confident, shoot a 3, come out, sit back down. But I think with the absence of Brandon Robinson, he just can't play like that anymore. He has to come on and play valuable minutes on defense more than anything. Because they're not going to look to him to carry the load with scoring the ball by any means. But, I mean, the minutes are going to be there. Because, I mean, if they're not there, then Roy really only trusts 6 players. And, I mean, that's just not going to get you through 20 ACC games. I mean, Brandon Robinson will come back before then. But 2 ACC games before Christmas and a tough non-conference slate when you have to go to Gonzaga. and potentially play either Seton Hall or Oregon over Thanksgiving. So I mean, he's gonna have to play well, and it can't just be shooting up the occasional three. And yes, with Brandon Robinson down, to your question again, he's going to have the minutes to earn more minutes when Brandon Robinson gets back. It's all going to be on the defensive side and what he can show Roy that he can do. I mean, that's the way to Roy's heart in any aspect is on defense. So, I mean, I think, and talking to Playtech kind of after the exhibition match, he understands that. And he's a great quote. Greg always loves a good Andrew Playtech quote. But yeah, I mean, he gets it, and whether he can do it is another question, and people are going to see it on Wednesday if he can do it or not, because he's going to play a lot, because there's no Brandon Robinson. And if Andrew Playtech can't do it, I don't even know who the next man up is. Caleb Ellis, maybe? I really don't know after that. I mean, Roy joked today that Robbie Ohan, the kid from JV that they called the day before the first practice, just so they could have 10 guys to run full court. They called him the day before. I was like, hey, Robbie, like, can you come and try out and maybe be on the varsity team? We need you. So, those are the options for Andrew Playtech moving forward.
It's going to be Roy Williams will earn his stripes. If he ever needed to earn his coaching stripes, it'll be this season, especially early. Greg, who are we missing? KJ Smith, he's out there. You got Anthony Harris, and I doubt Jeremiah Francis is going to have a lot of health to offer this year. But, I mean, you got seven now. If Roy Williams has eight with Brandon Robinson, we're down to seven when we're looking at this roster. Who on this roster not in that top seven and not named Brandon Robinson is going to make an impact? It just boggles my mind to think that Roy Williams is not going to be able to play 10 and 11 guys across the early preseason the early season now, since the ACC starts right out of the gate. But who are we missing that may surprise?
Well, in terms of surprising, I don't know, but in terms of who we're missing, I think Huffman's going to play a lot. He may not play a lot in critical moments, but in some of these games against Gardner-Webb or maybe even Alabama and Bahamas and some games like that, I think they're going to have to lean on him some just because of the minutes that the guys are going to have to play in some of the key games. And so I think that's good for him and that he's going to get some more experience. If they could somehow get him to take that next step forward, he doesn't have to be great, but just take that next step forward where they can get 5 to 10 minutes out of him, kind of like Joel James was able to do late in his career. That would be a huge benefit. I don't know that Huffman's there yet, but I think that would be the hope and the goal. And then you mentioned Anthony Harris. I think he is a kid because of his shooting ability. Once he gets back from that knee injury, and he's hopeful that it'll be soon where he'll be able to practice and play, he may be a guy that we're talking about in February as, hey, this is a kid who can come off the bench, knock down some shots, give you an extra body, and maybe that kind of sets the stage for him, maybe not to be a key contributor this year, but certainly for next year and years to come. So hopefully he's able to bounce back and provide a little bit of a spark late in the year. But in terms of these first couple weeks, couple months, I don't know that there's many more people outside of that collection of eight that we keep talking about.
Gregory, last couple questions. Let's talk about Notre Dame a little bit. We're talking about Carolina with all this roster turnover. I look at Notre Dame's roster, and it looks like they've had guys there since the 90s. Carolina's got a tough ACC opener, and it is insane that it's on November the 6th, but it is what it is. Carolina and Notre Dame, your thoughts on this first one? There's no easing into the water. It's straight off the 35-foot diving board into the frying pan for North Carolina.
Yeah, there are it's definitely not an easy one. People might look at Notre Dame's season last year and say, wait a second, they were last in the ACC. They only won three conference games. So like, why should I be scared of a veteran Notre Dame team when a veteran Notre Dame team last year was not very good? I mean, there's a reason that they were picked seventh by the media to finish seventh in the ACC this season. Not seventh right now. They were predicted at the end of the season to finish seventh. With a good ACC, like that's pretty solid considering where they were last year. 10 of their 12 guys are back, which is just, I mean, insane. And those are contributors because they were plagued with injuries. And we talk about Carolina football injuries and being plagued with that. And we're talking about the injuries UNC is dealing with right now in basketball. Notre Dame had a rough season last year. Rex Pfluger, one of their main guys, played 10 games, then missed the rest of the season. And then they had a multitude of guys come in who then were out a few games here, a few games there. And a majority of them are healthy. I mean, John Mooney has been their reliable guy. I mean, he averaged a double-double last year, averaged 11.2 rebounds. It was him and Luke May were back and forth between the rebound leaders. He finished fifth in the country, I think, Mooney did, in rebounds. And then you've got Juwan Durham, their big man, who's going to be right up there on Armando. He's 6'11", 223 pounds or something like that. So he's tall and, I mean, a bit skinny for his size, but pretty comparable to Armando's size there. I mean, he only started like five games last year, but he is a starter this year. And he's going to be their main five on the inside. And then you've got TJ Gibbs. TJ Gibbs is incredible. I mean, he averaged over 13 points a game last year. He's a senior. So, I mean, I've got their starting lineup with four seniors and a sophomore who averaged the third most points on the team. Last year's a freshman, averaged third most points on the team. So they're back. They're healthy. They shoot a lot of threes, though. They led the ACC last year in threes, and then they didn't show any signs of slowing down in their exhibition match. They shot 31, which, I don't know, against an exhibition team that you could definitely out-muscle. You would think maybe they would try to get the ball inside more, but I guess they like to shoot the three. And UNC's had some trouble with teams that like to shoot the three in the past. I mean, the three-point line is moved back about 16 inches this year. It's the international distance now. So that might change, but I don't know. We'll see. Roy didn't seem to – he didn't think it'll change that much. He was just kind of like, everybody can shoot it from NBA distance nowadays anyway. But, yeah, I think that's the challenge, is stopping Mooney first and foremost. You got to stop him, because he's going to do everything for them. And then you can't let them get hot from deep, and you got to make it hard for them to get hot from deep. Obviously the crowd will be going home opener against an ACC opponent. I mean, UNC is a whopping 0-0 against conference games in the month of November. So they've never played a conference game in November before, which seems kind of crazy to me. Just maybe a fluke time it happened once, but it hasn't. So yeah, they pose a lot of challenges, and people shouldn't take them lightly just because they finished dead last in the conference last year.
And Tommy, another name to kind of look out for, and for the recruitniks, Nate Leshefsky is a kid that North Carolina really wanted a couple of years ago. He's a sophomore yet now. He didn't play a whole lot last year, but he's a guy that's a talented big, very athletic. And so, you know, I am a big fan of Notre Dame style of play. I think Mike Bray does his phenomenal job offensively. When he's got his guys operating, you know, that they, you know, with a guy like Mooney, for example, who can step out and knock down the three, there's a lot of spreading out. There's a lot of, it's not up tempo. It's a very patient approach, but they do a good job of getting into the lane and kicking out for those threes. And that's one of the reasons they've done so well in terms of offensive efficiency over the years. Some of their better teams of late have been, you know, top 20. 2016, they were top 10 adjusted offense. 2015, they were number two. So they've they've had a very good offensive scheme. And even last year, while they struggled because of those injuries, I mean, they were still 105 in adjusted offensive efficiency, and they were 107 in adjusted defensive efficiency. And so they also take care of the ball very well. And that's something they don't do is create turnover or force cough up turnovers, I guess is the way to say that. And so this is going to be, I think more than anything, it's going to be a test of UNC's defense, which I don't think is a good thing for the Tar Heels. When you have so many new pieces, they did not look good defensively against Winston-Salem State. Roy Williams was not happy about that. They had 23 turnovers. Which when you're playing a team that doesn't turn the ball over, like Notre Dame, that could give them a lot more possessions, which Roy Williams does not like. And you combine the fact with everything that Gregory said about Notre Dame going through a tough year, but having, I mean, TJ Gibbs is a really good player. Mooney is a really good player. And, Pfluger, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's still got some time to come back from that ACL injury. Maybe I haven't checked on that lately, but maybe I'm wrong. But they still have a lot of pieces there, a lot of talented pieces, and I expect Notre Dame to be a lot better this year. And so that'll certainly be a big challenge for UNC on Wednesday. I expect that to be a competitive game. And people will flip out if North Carolina loses that game, as everybody knows. I don't know if a loss is as big of a deal as it will seem at the time, depending on how things play out and how good Notre Dame actually looks, because I think they have a chance to be really good this year.
I think they're a pretty good team. I mean, if you look at their schedule last year, when Pfluger went down, they fell off the cliff. But before that, they were pretty solid. And those guys always seem to play good basketball. I mean, they lose games last season. But they never looked like a really bad team at times, at least the times I saw them. Gregory and Greg Barnes, Gregory Hall, Greg Barnes, it's been fun. This is the first of many. We're going to do this podcast weekly, on the beat, basketball style. We'll get more into it as the season gets into it. Carolina and Notre Dame in the Smith Center at 7 p.m. on November the 6th. That just, still not there yet, but Carolina and Notre Dame will kick it off or tip it off, whether we're ready or not. Greg and Gregory, I appreciate y'all taking the time to join me. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.